Right. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari. sangira sangte ye kuiro fila da da His divine grace of Ayachananda Matubananda Goswami Mara Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anandagoti Vaishnav Rind Kijai Namacharya Srila Hoyadas Thakur Kijai Ram Se Gohoshi Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nichananda Shidwaita Gadatha Shivasati Gaur Vakta Vrinda Kijai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopagavata Sayam Kundata Kunda Giri Govardhan Kijai Vrindavadam Kijai Maturadam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Kijai Yamunabai Kijai Srimati Lasadevi Kijai Samaveda Vakta Vakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hare Krishna. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Go, Premananda. So we'll read the translation. He who brought the treasure of divine love and who was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivas Acharya gone? Where am I, Svarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where am I, Raghunath Bhatt and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnadas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Gauranga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Gauranga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Gauranga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So today is the combined disappearance days of two great personalities. One is Gauridas Pandit, and the other one is Srila Rupa Goswami, and we'll speak very briefly about Gauridas Pandit. So Gauridas Pandit, so Om Gana Timadanda Shah Gananjana Shaya Chakshur Vinitan Yena Tasmani Shigurve Namaha. Actually, we'll read from the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in which Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written about Gauridas Pandit. So the Bengali is Tasha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Sat Prema Mara Sakinaha Ulva Udva Skanda Vadhutendo Satkarupam Gananumaha. Sri Nityananda Prabhu is the topmost branch of the indestructible tree of the eternal love of God. And Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, I offer my respectful obeisances to all the sub-branches of that topmost branch. Gauridas Pandit is one of the most important sub-branches of the Nityananda branch of the Chaitanya tree of Bhakti. Of this particular sub-branch of Nityananda, Sri Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami has written, and I'll just read the English, Gauridas Pandit, the emblem of the most elevated devotional service and love of Godhead, had the greatest potency to deliver to receive and deliver such love, making Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda the lords of his life, Gauridas Pandit sacrificed everything for the service of Lord Nityananda, even the fellowship of his family. And of course, he lived in a place called Ambika Kalna. And Srila Prabhupada translates the commentary of Srila Bhaktivedanta Thakur about Gauridas Pandit. It is said that Gauridas Pandit was always patronized by King Krishnadas, the son of Hanipoda. Gauridas Pandit lived in the village of Shaligrama, which is situated a few miles from the railway station Muragacha, and later he came to reside in Ambika Kalna. It is stated in the Gauraganadesh Dipika, verse 128, that formerly he was Subal, one of the coward boyfriends of Krishna and Balaram in Vrindavan. He was the younger brother of Suryadas Sarakela, and the eldest son of Gauridas Pandit was known as Big Balaram, and the youngest son was known as Raghunath. Sons of Raghunath, and here it gives us history. And there's quite a little bit of information here. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu dancing with Lord Nityananda, which Chani Hari Hari arrived at the house of Gauridas Pandit. Weeping and weeping in separation, Gauridas fell at the feet of the Lord and said, "You must never leave my house." So this is the story of Gauridas Pandit's deities. "Please heed my words. Stay here in Ambika Kalna. This is my humble submission. If you leave me, I shall surely die. You must stay here. And I will always stay here and view your divine form. You are two brothers. Stay here at my place, and everyone will be delivered just by seeing you. Again, I submit. Don't leave. O Gaurahari, you are the savior of the fallen." The Lord said, "Gaurahari, allow me to fulfill your hope in this way. I shall give you an exact copy of Gaura and Nityananda, a murti that you may worship. By seeing this murti, you can think of us. My murti is as good as I am. Know it for certain that my words are true." So actually, there were deities that look exactly like Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. These deities were later worshipped by Gauridas Pandit's great devotee, Hriday Chaitanya, who was originally known as Hridayananda, and he got the name Hriday Chaitanya because the deities of Gauridas jumped into his heart. Because Gauridas Pandit one day was very upset that the deities had left the altar to join his disciple. When they went to join his disciple, Gauridas Pandit ran after the deities with a stick in his hand, and the deities were so, that is, Gauranatai were so much afraid of Gauridas Pandit that they jumped into the heart of Gauridas Pandit's disciple, Hridayananda, and therefore Hridayananda became known as Hriday Chaitanya. So it's described on the Shukla Ekadasi in the month of Shravanam, which is today. Gauridas Pandit passed away from this earth and entered into the eternal unmanifest pastimes of Lord Chaitanya and Lord Nityananda. His most important disciple was Hriday Chaitanya, who I talked about, whose most important disciple was Sri Shyamananda Prabhu. So Narahari Chakravarti Thakur records all the history of Gauridas Pandit's life and extols his glories in his seventh Turanga, a wave of his book, the Bhakti Ratnakara, which is a very important book detailing the history of many great Vaishnavas, Narottamadas Thakur, Gauridas Pandit, Shyamananda, Srinivasacharya, and other Vaishnavas. So, today is the disappearance day also of Srila Rupa Goswami, so we're going to speak a little bit about Srila Rupa Goswami. We have the reference in this book. So Srila Rupa Goswami and his two brothers, that is Sanatan Goswami and Anupama, who was his brother. Anupama was the father of Srila Jiva Goswami. So they asked, their family originally came from South India, from Karnataka. And they were Saraswata Brahmins in Karnataka, and somehow the family migrated to Bengal. And so Rupa Goswami appeared in the year 1489. and he stayed in this world until the year 1564. And so they were all pure devotees of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. They got training in their youth from the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Vachaspati. And so they were trained in logic, rhetoric, Sanskrit grammar, and also they were very expert in speaking different languages. They spoke Persian, and of course Urdu, Hindi, Sanskrit, and I don't think they spoke English, but many, many, many different languages. Of course, English was known at that particular time, but not so much in India, because that was really before the British took over in India. So, and that was helpful too, because the Goswamis of Vrindavan, one of the main duties they were given by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was Nana Shastra Vichara Naikini Vinosa Dharma, some stuff ago, to peruse, that means read and study, all the revealed literatures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles. So one may say, you know, why do you have to read all the literatures with the aim of establishing religious, eternal religious principles, when all the religious literatures basically, they're meant for knowing Krishna? Well, Krishna explains very nicely why one has to understand the purpose of all the Vedic literatures, rather than just take pieces of the Vedic literatures out of context. Krishna says to Arjuna in the Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nis Trigunya Bhavarjuna. Nir Dwangvo, Nir. Is it loud enough? I gotta swallow it, basically. Nir Dwangvo Nityasadvisto Nir Yoga Shema Atmadan. Krishna said, most of the Vedas are meant for dealing with the three modes of material nature. Because people are in lower status, they have different adhikars. And so, therefore, Krishna says to Arjuna, Nirdvandva, be free of this duality, Nirvasavastho, Niryogashem, Abhavan, be established in the self and understand the real import or purport of the Vedic literatures. So it was very important for Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami to detail this, what's called Satdharma, eternal religious principles. Much of the Vedic literatures don't deal with eternal religious principles. They deal with Varnashram. Sometimes there's injunctions about worshipping different demigods or prayers to Indra. Especially in the Rig Veda, you have most of the prayers to Indra. So if one was just to read the Rig Veda, one would come to the conclusion that, oh, Indra must be God. So, of course, you can't just do a total of different verses to find out which, how many verses refer to what deity and figure out that deity must be supreme. In the Rig Veda itself, it says that Om Tad Vishnu Param Pada Pashanti Yad Surya, that all these demigods, including Indra, they're simply looking to Vishnu or wanting to worship Vishnu. So this education they got from Vachaspati was very important so that they could carry on the service of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later on. I mean, sometimes people say, well, education is not important. Well, actually, we see that in spreading the Krishna consciousness movement, it's very important to be educated, to know what you're talking about, to be able to quote Shastra. Not only quoting Shastra, but it's also important to understand about the material world. In the Isopanishad, it says, vidya avidya, that one should study knowledge, you know, transcendental knowledge, and also knowledge of avidya, or ignorance about this material world. And you see, the Prabhupada was quite expert in both types of knowledge. So therefore, I mean, he was successful because of Krishna Shakti, the potency he got from following a spiritual master, and he, of course, he's a Nityasiddha devotee. But ostensibly, well, externally, we can see that he was quite expert in dealing with this world in many different ways. Like when Prabhupada was bargaining for different things, and the devotees, sometimes they got cheated. Prabhupada called them damn cheap babus. Prabhupada was able to understand the right price for something. He wasn't just some naive, you know, sadhu living in the Himalayas. So anyway, material education is important. So eventually, Rupa Goswami, getting back to the story of Rupa Goswami, and Sanatana Goswami, and Anupama, eventually they moved to a place called Ramakeli. And the reason they were living in Ramakeli is that's where they were serving the Nawab Hussein Shah, who was in charge of Bengal at that particular point. And the reason they were serving the Nawab Hussein Shah, which was actually prohibited for Hindus or prohibited from people who follow the Vedic culture, because the Nawab Hussein Shah wanted their service so much, he threatened Vaishnavas. He said he was going to kill so many Vaishnavas unless they served him. So it was just like, you know, blackmail there. So anyway, so they were serving the Nawab Hussein Shah, and they took on even different names. Of course, the original names were Amar and Santosh. Rupa Goswami's name was Amar, and Sanatana Goswami's name was Santosh, and they took on the name Davir Khas and Chakara Malik, you know, which are referred to their position in the Muslim government. Like, Rupa Goswami was the finance minister. So eventually, they heard about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they were thinking, how can we meet with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? They even wrote a letter to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, when he was on his way to Vrindavan, he went to Ramakeli, and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami, or Davya Khas and Shakala Malik, or Amar and Santosh, and their brother, approached Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with straws in their teeth. And they bowed down to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and basically they said, people say that we are very educated, but actually we don't know the purpose of life. So Prabhupada said this is actually the methodology to approach the spiritual master, approach the Supreme Personality of Godhead with great humility. So at that particular juncture, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave them the name, Rupa and Sanatana, and Anupama. He gave them their spiritual names. And at that point, they actually advised Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Somehow or other, they gave Lord Chaitanya advice, because Lord Chaitanya, as I said before, was on his way to Vrindavan. But he was accompanied by a lot of people. And they said, this is not appropriate. Even they were able to give advice just right after getting initiation. That shows they were not like blind followers. Lord Chaitanya, Krishna says, and actually Prabhupada said, blind following and absurd inquiries are condemned. Just like the other day, I got an email from one of my disciples in Europe, and he said, I should just blindly follow my authority. You know, he wasn't talking about me, his spiritual master, but just blindly follow anyone to join a brahmachari monastery where they don't allow women to come close. You know, anyway, they're copying the Catholics at this particular point. So I told him, no, Prabhupada wanted independently thoughtful devotees, not just blind followers. So anyway, they were able to advise Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, instead of proceeding to Vrindavan at that time with his large retinue, he returned back to Jagannath Puri. And they said it's not appropriate. It's like basically like a circus, you know, you're going there with so many people. Because Vrindavan is meant to be appreciated in a very deep, meditative way. And, you know, anyway, there's not a commentary on people who have large yatras and go to Vrindavan, but it's really meant to be done in a just personally meditating upon Krishna's presence in Vrindavan and the pastimes of Krishna. And that's really where you get the nectar in Vrindavan. So, anyway, so Lord Chaitanya returned back, and Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami at that time made some plans how they could get out of there and join Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They were so attached to Lord Chaitanya. So Rupa Goswami was able to leave without much problem. Somehow or other resigned. He was able to take a lot of his wealth with him. It's described he had boatloads of gold coins. That's pretty good. Boatloads of gold coins, and he divided that up in different ways, and there was one quarter he saved for emergencies. And he deposited the scribe with a grocer. I guess that was the banking system at that particular time. Sanatana Goswami, of course, was not able to leave home in such an easy fashion. Sanatana Goswami, we know, he employed a lot of different Brahmins and Vaishnavas to read the Bhagavatam to him, and he declared that he was sick. And then Nawab Hussain Shah sent his doctor, and the doctor discovered that Sanatana Goswami was not sick, but he was just plain sick in order to hear the Bhagavatam all day long. So Sanatana Goswami was put in jail. The reason I'm mentioning this in regard to Rupa Goswami's story is that Sanatana Goswami was able to use that money that Rupa Goswami had stored in order to bribe his way out of prison. So eventually, getting back to Rupa Goswami meets Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Prayag, Allahabad, which is, Allahabad is the modern name for Prayag. It's, I like the word Prayag better. Allahabad refers to a different religion, in case you hadn't figured that out. And then he was instructed for 10 days on the banks of the Ganges River about the principles of devotional service. And because he was able to imbibe those instructions from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, then he was able to write literatures detailing the basic principles and also the more advanced principles of devotional service. You know, we know that later on he wrote the Bhakti or Rasamrita Sindhu, which is our nectar devotion. And more advanced principles are in the Ujjala Nilamani, which is considered the postgraduate study. In addition, he wrote many other literatures, such as the Vidagdha Madhava, which deals with Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, a very intimate description of Krishna's pastimes in Vrindavan, and the Lita Madhava, which deals with the pastimes of Krishna when he left Vrindavan. And it's a very elaborate play detailing the intense separation that Srimati Radharani and the other gopis felt from Krishna. And in this play, you have Srimati, in the Lita Madhava, you have Srimati Radharani basically going up to the sun planet and later on appearing as Satyabhama. And Satyabhama is not being allowed to associate with Krishna in Dwarka. Of course, Krishna in Dwarka is known as Dwarkadish, because Rukmini is interfering with their relationship. And Krishna had previously promised Rukmini that he wouldn't get married a second time without her permission. So there's this whole interlude of Satyabhama and Krishna meeting in this place called New Vrindavan, not the New Vrindavan in Pennsylvania, but the New or Nava Vrindavan that is situated on the other side of the Bay of Dwarka. And they meet there, and I'm not going to tell the whole story. Eventually, Rukmini gives in, and Satyabhama, who is Radharani, gets married to Dwarkadish or Krishna at this particular point. So anyway, so it's Lita Madhava, Vidagdha Madhava, let's see. And then there's the story, this is very interesting. There's a story of Rupa Goswami discovering the deity of Radha Govinda. Of course, Rupa Goswami is also the Acharya of Abhideya. There's the three different aspects of devotional service: Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. Sambandha means understanding basically the relationships between the different tattvas, Tabo means things that eternally exist, like the material energy, like the jiva soul, like the Supreme Personality of Godhead, you know, in time and all those other nice things. And so that's Sambandha, and Sanatana Goswami is the Acharya of Sambandha, and Madan Mohan is the deity of Sambandha, and Abhideya, Rupa Goswami is the Acharya, and Abhideya means the practice of devotional service, so that one can ultimately come to the devotional pure devotional platform. And the deity is Radha Govindaji, who is Rupa Goswami's deity, whom I'll describe the appearance of in a few seconds, and of course Prayojana, that's Gopinath. And Raghunath Das Goswami is the Acharya of the Prayojana. Prayojana means attaining the ultimate goal of Krishna consciousness. But the deities of Radha Gopinath were not installed by Raghunath Das Goswami. They were installed by Madhu Pandit. Not the Madhu Pandit of Bangalore. So don't worry about that. It's a Madhu Pandit, anyway, many, many years ago. Okay, so getting to the story of Radha Govindaji. Once upon a time, Rupa Goswami was sitting on the banks of the Yamuna, and he thought about the difficult task that was laying before him. You know, he had to establish eternal religious principles, build a temple, or one temple, and also establish or discover the holy places of Krishna Chandra. So he was just thinking, how am I going to do or accomplish what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told me to do? Just then, a young boy approached and said, why are you depressed? He told the young boy about his mission, which the young boy, obviously, was Krishna. And he said, I have to revive Vrindavan as a Vaishnava place of pilgrimage, as headquarters of the movement, the Krishna conscious movement. Actually, you see, the Prabhupada basically did the same thing. That before Prabhupada came and preached in the Western world and brought the Western people to Vrindavan, Vrindavan was basically just a forest. It was, when we first went there, 1972 or 73, basically there wasn't a motorized vehicle there, and there were hardly any bicycle rickshaws there. It was a jungle, and there were snakes everywhere. And of course there were peacocks, which is nice too. And there were vultures everywhere too. Practically in every other tree there was the giant vultures, the peacocks in the other trees. And it was a jungle. When Srila Prabhupada brought the Western devotees, his dancing white elephants and rhinoceri, then Vrindavan became more popular and Govardhan became more popular at that point. So Prabhupada actually was following in the footsteps of Srila Prabhupada and Sanatana Goswami. So anyway, he told the boy of his mission, and the boy said, just follow me, you know, I'll help you. And so Rupa Goswami is thinking, what? What is he talking about? So the young boy leads him to a hill. He said, inside that hill is this deity, most magnificent deity of Govinda Dev, who was established by Brajanabha. Brajanabha was Krishna's great-grandson, who actually established or installed the original deities in Vrindavan and also found Krishna's places of pilgrimage. So during one of the Muslim invasions, the deity had been buried by the villagers. Sometimes the villagers buried deities, and sometimes they put them in lakes. Sometimes in South India, you'll find that there's a lake near the temple, and the devotees will explain that the deity was hidden in the lake. And certain places, actually, the deity is kept in the lake. The Varada Dharaja deity is interesting. The Varada Dharaja deity is actually a wood deity, so they preserve him, the original deity. They preserve him in the lake, and they only take him out like every 14 years. And they have the Utsava and replica deities that are being worshipped in the temple. Every day, the boy said, a cow comes by this place and showers her milk all over the hill. In this way, it seeps through, and Govindadev relishes his daily meal. So Rupa Goswami was skeptical. What does this young boy know? But he observed that every day a cow came and basically pointed her udder right over the hole in the hill, and milk poured in. And Rupa Goswami called the local villagers. They excavated, and finally they found the deity of Radha Govindaji. And under the patronage of the Emperor Akbar, who was actually a mogul, but he was also, you know, married to Rajasthani princess, and he was very liberal, the temple of Radha Govindaji was established. And the sandstone for the temple was given by Maharaj Man Singh of Jaipur. So this temple is very beautiful. Later on, of course, Aurangzeb, you know, the grandson of Akbar, was so upset with this temple because he could see that the ghee lamps on the top of the temple, was like 7 or 8 stories high, could be seen from Agra, which is his capital. And he sent his men to destroy Rupa Goswami's temple. So his men went to destroy Rupa Goswami's temple, and they were tearing down the upper stories first. And then all of a sudden, boom, boom, you know, just like explosions, the ground was shaking, they ran away. And so half the temple was saved, or the lower stories were saved. So, about anything else about Rupa Goswami? Padagna Madhava, Shivani Lamani, which we discussed before. There's some quotes from Prabhupada here. Oh, yeah. This is interesting. There, in Tero Kadamba, which is near Nandagram, Rupa Goswami had an intense desire one time to prepare kheer for the Govindaji deity and also for his brother, Sanatana Goswami. You know, he's thinking, I want to serve my brother and I'll offer to Govindaji. So as he was thinking this way, he was thinking, I don't have any ingredients. And I'd like to have those ingredients. So a young girl came, who happened to be Radharani, to see, you know, if you're pure devotee, then even Krishna comes to serve you, like you serve Raghunatha Das Goswami. When Raghunatha Das Goswami was threatened by the tigers at Radhakund, and Radharani served Raghunatha Das Goswami, when it was too hot, she covered his head with her veil. So anyway, so Rupa Goswami was thinking this way, and Radharani came, and he didn't know it was Radharani. She said, please prepare some kheer and offer to your deity from these ingredients. And then she disappeared. He prepared it, and it was given to Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami said, where'd you get these ingredients from? And Rupa Goswami explained, and Sanatana Goswami said, what did that girl look like? And Rupa Goswami began to describe, and Sanatana Goswami got very angry with him, saying, you've taken service from Srimati Radharani. Because Sanatana Goswami, being the elder brother, was considered like Rupa Goswami's guru. I mean, that's the etiquette there. Said, never accept service from Radharani. We're supposed to serve Radharani. And just one final point is that we are known as Rupanugas, followers of Srila Rupa Goswami, because Srila Rupa Goswami is the main acharya at that particular time in our disciplic succession. Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gadavayam Padati Swapadantikam, which means the Rupa Goswami Manobhishtam understood the mind of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So that is a first class servant according to the Bhagavatam. First class servant understands the mind of the master and acts accordingly. Second class has to be told before he does anything. So that's all we have time for today. Today is the disappearance day of the Rupa Goswami and Gauridas Pandit. All glories to his divine grace. A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jai, today's Ekadasi, 64 rounds for everybody. already have, yeah, I have 38 down this morning. You wake up early, early to bed, early to rise, makes you Krishna conscious and wise and rich.